Your motion, please.
Yes, Madam Chair, recognizing that we will get back to, we will get back to electrical, which is a separate federal issue, my motion is that we now approve Senate Bill 5508 as amended, and with a due pass recommendation to full Ways and Means.
Discussion. Objection. If not, so moved. And now we'll go on to Senate Bill 5507.
We need whoever it is that's going to be willing to carry.
Who's willing to carry it? Make him do it.
Make him do it.
Representative Hayden, you want Representative? We need so eager. Someone is not present. Oh, boy.
Carry it in committee, Madam Chair.
You'd like to do that?
No, I would like to, Madam Chair, but I'd be like, as long as Representative Butler carries it on before that.
Okay. Thank you.
Right answer, guys.
And Senator Dukes, I'm sure you, I don't want to carry this.
I don't mind. I have, don't have any strong feelings one way or the other, so.
Bless your heart.
If it succeeds, fine, and if it doesn't succeed, okay.
Representative Hayden's going to carry it to full committee. Representative Butler's going to carry it in the House, and Senator Dukes will carry it in the Senate. Okay, now on to Senate Bill 5507. I hope the committee will forgive me for not taking a break, because I know the House needs to go at 10:30 with their excuse, but we also don't want to keep you here too long. And let's go back to Senator Dukes' concern, and let's discuss, let's see, do we need to have LFO's recommendation first? Or anything from, where are we?
Madam Chair, why don't we go ahead and deal with Senator Dukes' issue, and then we can work our way through.
And this handout that we had from Lori this morning on electrical licensing fees is what we need to review. Someone from the department, want to come up, Senator Dukes, you have any further questions, or do you just want to make a?
Madam Chair, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that we can discuss this a whole lot more. We don't know what's going to come. I mean, Attachment 5 gives us what happens if the bill that's, I assume, making its way through comes, is passed. And Attachment 4 tells us what happens if it doesn't pass. And my heartburn is mostly with Attachment 4. Not that I'm thrilled with Attachment 5, but that's life, and we can live with that.
If we could amend the budget notes to also, if we don't know what's going to happen, to require a report to the emergency board also on this issue, that is, that you incorporate the electrical into that budget note. I think that's about the best we can do right now, because we can't.
And where is House Bill 3088? Do you know?
Madam Chair, my recollection is that it's passed out of committee in the House. It's been sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I can't recall if it's had floor action at this point.
Madam Chair, Robin may be right. That may be the best we can do. But if that's what we do and 3088 doesn't pass, we're going to get these. I mean, you're going to end up reporting back, but all you're going to report back is now the rurals are paying even more than they were before, than everybody else, or almost everybody else. So, and it just concerns me, and maybe we need a broader look at how we handle those areas that we still continue to service. I understand that it's more expensive to get out into the rural areas. I understand that mostly because coming from a rural area, I know how expensive it is to get into the urban area, which is where all the meetings are held, in case you hadn't noticed, and I'm sure you have. And the road only sort of goes one way. But I still think that there needs to be some attention paid to the impact on the construction industry, on the building, on the economy, on the affordability of housing in rural communities, when we just say, well, it costs us more money to administer the program, so therefore they have to pay more money. And I don't have a solution. I don't know what the answer is, but it seems like we ought to pay attention to it and not just say one part of the state has to pay more.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, that may be something that should be assigned to an interim substantive committee to review. I think you raised some very important policy questions that ought to be looked at, and what would be the mechanism for paying for that if it weren't charged to the people who receive the service, and how would you deal with that? And I think it's something that ought to be looked at, and in depth with statutory changes being made if necessary.
Representative Butler.
Thank you. I think Representative Dukes absolutely, Senator, I beg your pardon. I think Senator Dukes absolutely hit the heart of the problem in her wrap-up comment, and that is we need to take a look at the way this whole issue of the rural TriMet. We addressed TriMet last time. Mm-hmm. TriMet said, "Give us what we want, and we'll add another 1% overhead fee." Rural has a series of various fees, including all of the things that TriMet is paying for, and I guess to maintain a building department statewide, TriMet is picking up part of the fare, and I think that's reasonable for rural Oregon, that if we are held to a standard which equals, and sometimes we feel like it's excessive because we don't necessarily have we can't spread our jobs around amongst 1,000 contracts a year where that may be the case. It may be that we'll be just in a fraction of that in rural Oregon. And I think, again, that Senator Dukes absolutely gets to the heart of the issue when it does need, and I concur with what Ms. Lamont has said from Legislative Fiscal, that we need to study this in the interim. And I would really enjoy an opportunity to come back and address this issue following a good study in the interim, which would address exactly that. Is the best place to deliver this, the rural services through the state? Are there folks that are willing to go back under Senate Bill 35 from the 1995 session and pick up large chunks of rural Oregon if they can contract Astoria with Clatskanie and small towns, there's Scappoose, and small towns and big towns and little counties and big counties and so forth, if they could do that. And I think that there needs to be some incentive in that process. Here you've got a 1% fee charged again within the TriMet. So I would concur with what Senator Dukes is proposing and what. But I think you nailed it right in the heart, and that is that we need to look at it in relationship to the fees that are paid in Bend and Eugene and Portland. I look at it and I say, Jimmy, why is it necessarily so that Eugene should be paying more? Really, again, you've got enough for a full-time inspector, a full-time plumber, a full-time, and they've got 7 jobs lining up for them all the time. But the last time I got a plumber's bill, he charged me for all the time that he was on the road coming to my house. So, but there's just a lot of issues there that I think that we need to look at. I hate to pitch it, and we're out of time anyway, but I do have a bill that says just that, that's in the House right now, that says look at rural Oregon and examine the delivery of services in rural Oregon in relationship. What makes us different and unique, and then what can we do to accommodate those issues?
That you folks have a discussion with legislative leadership about setting up a work group or assigning this to an interim substantive committee, because I think there are a lot of concerns. I think it's pretty clear from the discussions we've had on the fee bill there are a lot of concerns about the cost to the state and to the citizens to provide these services.
Senator Dukes, do you want to take a stab at a budget note or a motion or a recommendation?
I don't believe we need that.
You don't?
I believe that that's something that you could simply deal with through a discussion with legislative leadership when they are assigning the work of the interim substantive committees. Unless there is, you want the added punch of having a budget note that directs that.
Senator Dukes,
well, normally a budget note tells an agency to do something. So the only thing I can think of is that you would be directing the agency to go to the interim committee to engage in a discussion on all of this, and that's going to be subject to a chair who actually wants to schedule it.
Mm-hmm.
So I...
Madam Chair, is why my recommendation
backwards what we're talking about doing.
Was to have a discussion with legislative leadership.
We, Madam Chair, we can make sure that the budget report reflects the concerns of the
committee.
That's a good idea.
Okay. And that it reflects it from a standpoint, not from an agency standpoint, as much as it is the deliverables and the communities that we represent.
And a concern about the disparity between fees statewide.
Okay, Lori, you have your information for you that you can get that in. LFO.
Are we in work session? I can't remember.
We are
good.
In work session.
Good.
Still.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I have put arrows on the recommendations that I gave you to show the issues that we need to cover.
Okay.
Anything that doesn't have an arrow, we have already adopted. So I will start and work my way through with a couple of budget notes on page 2. The first budget note relates to the funding of the Center for Research on Environmental Toxicology. We had extensive discussions about how that select should be funded in meetings with Jeff Gilmore and representatives of CROAT. This budget note, and I will read it. The Department of Consumer and Business Services is directed to assist the Management Labor Advisory Committee in an evaluation of the statutory funding structure and appropriate level of funding for the Center for Research on Environmental Toxicology at Oregon Health Sciences University. The evaluation should specifically consider whether the current funding source should be shifted from the current combined insurance premium assessments and cents per hour funding to solely cents per hour funding. The Department of Consumer and Business Services should submit a report on the recommendations of the Management Labor Advisory Committee to the 72nd Legislative Assembly.
Discussion. Representative Johnson.
I just would like to make sure that I understood legislative staff. Mr. Gilmore, on behalf of the Health Sciences University, was party to the development of this budget note. And it's satisfactory to him. Great.
Representative Butler?
I'd move the legislative fiscal recommendation of the budget note at the top of page 2 of 5.
You've heard the motion. Any discussion? Objection? Not moved. Robin?
Second budget note. This has to do with issues that were raised about what the Center for Research on Environmental Toxicology does. It's a research institution, but there's concern about the practical applications of what they do. Again, this was discussed with with Jeff Gilmore and with representatives of CROAT, and I will read this to you. The Department of Consumer and Business Services is directed to ensure that the Center for Research on Environmental Toxicology submits an annual report to the Management Labor Advisory Committee on its activities. The report should include data on the direct and indirect information and services provided to Oregon employers and should assess the impact of these activities on workplace safety and health. The department should assist the Management Labor Advisory Committee to compile a biennial report for submission to the legislature based on the annual reports from CROAT.
Representative Johnson.
Again, a question to staff. It was discussed with Mr. Gilmore and representatives from OHSU. Were they okay with it?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm sure I would move legislative fiscal's recommendation as to the second budget note at the top of page 2 of 5.
Heard Representative Butler's motion. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so moved.
Moving down the page under item 3, we had a discussion very early on related to the issue of ergonomics. We are recommending that the budget report contain a comment that discusses that discussion, and I will read it to you. The subcommittee discussed the issue of ergonomic standards. The department stated that it does not intend to develop ergonomic standards or to implement rules specific to ergonomics until the issue is resolved at the federal level. The department will continue to work with its stakeholders in a work group to identify and resolve issues related to ergonomic standards in order to respond if federal standards are adopted.
Madam Chair, I don't know if the protocol is to have a motion on a budget comment. I was going to offer.
I think we need it in order to have it part of the budget.
Okay,
so I'll accept your motion if you'd like to make it.
I would make the motion to follow the recommendation of legislative staff on the bottom of page 205 related to the budget comment on ergonomics.
Sure. I'm glad to see the budget note. I only have one concern about it. I would like it somewhat clear to the agency that they need to respond to ergonomics, whether the federal government continues the other proposed rules that they had that are now up in the air or doesn't continue them, an increasing number of accidents on the job or compensable injuries or soft tissue injuries relating to a different type of workplace. And I was disappointed when the agency said initially in its budget presentation that they weren't moving forward. I mean, it's not like they've ignored them. They haven't ignored them over the years, but that they weren't moving forward with even more because of a suspension of the federal and perhaps rescinding or never enacting of the federal standards. And I think that Oregon has just done a lot on its workers' comp in the last several years, and that this is one that we need to continue to work on and move forward. So I'm glad to see it addressed in the budget.
I would like to comment that I believe Borosha talked about the fact that they do enforce rules having to do with soft tissue injury, but it is the specific issue of separate standards for ergonomics that were of concern.
I think we need to look at that, whatever the feds do, we still need to take a look at it and decide for ourselves what's right for Oregon.
Thank you, Senator Dukes.
Previous question.
Previous question. Any objection to the motion Representative Johnson made? If not, so approved.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the budget note on page 3 you have already approved. That is related to the pawnbroker. I'd like to move now into walkthrough of approval of the budget for the Building Codes Division and Central Support Services, which we have not yet worked. If you'll turn to page 21 of the spreadsheet handout, I will walk you through the recommendations on building codes. The actual recommendation related to current service level is on page 21. Building codes begins on page 20. I mean, it's on page 22. Building codes begins on page 21. And Madam Chair, with your permission, I'll read through all of the recommendations, and then perhaps we could have a motion on the budget as a whole unless we run into a snag.
Okay. Go ahead and do that.
Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending approval of the revised current service level of $24,879,619 other funds and 200,000 non-limited other funds, 159 positions, and 158.38 FTE. This includes a reduction of 83,519 for PERS and standard rate assessment rate reductions. The Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending approval of adjusted policy option tactic 191 workload increase. This includes transferring 5 limited duration positions to permanent status and approving an additional 6.5 FTE for a total of 12 positions at a cost of $1,352,206 other funds. approve adjusted policy option package 192, corrections light rail oversight, including three positions and FTE and $388,791 other funds. Approve a reduction of $1,592 in out-of-state travel. And with that, Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approval of a budget of $26,613,559 other funds and $200,000 non-limited other funds for the Building Codes Division and 177 positions and 172.88 FTE.
Has the 85-5 been considered in the process? That the reduction of the fees?
No, I wouldn't recommend reducing their limitation. What that would be to reduce their revenue, and that they would need to then take a look and make sure that they have got the revenue available to expand.
So the reduction of the fee package, the fee package we were told was taken into consideration in the development of the budget.
That's correct. We're talking about revenue, and we're talking about expenditure limitation. My recommendation is to leave them with the expenditure limitation. That's correct. They cannot exceed that limitation. So if, in fact, the fee reduction is greater than that, then they would not be able to expend it.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
Yes, that does indeed. And I guess, Madam Chair, the only item that I've got that jumps right out at me is one that Senator Dukes did the other day, and that was to put two zeros behind the $1,592 and say, what on earth are you doing with $159,000 of out-of-state travel? So, but that's, you know, mine is not to do or die. I would merely ask the question, why?
Good question.
But with that, Madam Chair, I would move Building Codes Division budget as recommended under paragraph 9 on page 4 of 5 at the Legislative Fiscal Office's recommended amount.
You've heard Representative Butler's motion. Is there any discussion?
At some point, I wouldn't mind having the answer to why there's $159,000 out-of-state travel, but I'm not going to hold up this process to wait for the answer.
I'm curious as well. That makes three of us, I think.
Madam Chair, I'm for it. This is the agency that when we first saw the out-of-state travel list, we almost fell over. So we just finally hit one of those divisions.
Then I guess I am willing to hold it up.
Madam Chair, I'm withdrawing my motion.
Okay. I think we better have an explanation tomorrow morning when we readdress this issue as to why we have $159,000 out of state travel. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, would you please carry this over on the record? Senate Bill 5507 needs to be carried forward on the record because we do not have a schedule tomorrow.
Okay, Senate Bill 5507 has to be carried forward tomorrow to hear the Building Codes Division. And we've got left the Central Support Services Division and the request from the E-Government Committee and the final removal of the budget.
Right. Tomorrow, Madam Chair and members of the committee, too, we have construction contractors board starting, and we have Senate Bill 63 to work, so we will have a pretty busy schedule.
Okay. Senator Dukes, if you would present to me some wording that you'd like to see in the interim task force that we discussed about for the I
will.
Robin stated it very well, and if Robin would help you, and then I would like to send that to the leadership in both House and Senate, and would try to take care of that for us as well. And it's my understanding the House has been called to a caucus. So thank you, members, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you very much.